because it's an encounter today with God. This is a special moment, is going to be for many of you. Let's pray before we begin. I just want to share just a couple things. We're going to enter right into this beautiful ceremony where we partake of the body and the blood, the bread and the cup of the Lord Jesus together. Lord, we just come to you. We thank you. God, there's things that are in our lives. Sometimes we don't have an answer for. We don't know how we got there. So today we cling to you to get us and to help us through. We ask you, God, for the peace, for the strength, for the anointing, and the ability to face whatever this world and the enemy has thrown at us today. For some, Lord, there's healing that is needed in their body, in their relationship, in their home, with their spouses, God. I pray that this will be a reality here today in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. If you have your Bible, I'm going to get there in just a moment in John chapter 6. If you'd open it up, John chapter 6. I want to read a beautiful portion of scripture that Jesus spoke. When we give our lives to Christ, we become born again through faith in Jesus and partakers of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. His body that was broken for us and his blood that was shed. And, you know, as I go over my notes every morning and Sunday mornings that I read and I pray. And when I read that, I felt the Lord, and I have in parentheses in my notes, don't ever lose the power that resides within these words. That his body was broken for us and his blood was shed for you and I. One day on the cross, Jesus, the culmination of history, came together at one point, and Jesus was led away to the cross. Man thinking, and the enemy thinking, that he was fulfilling a plan, but God, in his infinite knowledge, he said that Jesus was slain before the foundations of the world were even formed. And on that day, Christ went and was nailed to an old rugged cross. And when he dropped in the ground, his body had been beaten and bruised and mangled for you and for I. And his blood was shed that day for you and for I. His blood was shed to cleanse us and to wipe away our sin, our sin nature, our past, our present, our future, anything that has to do with negative, with pain, with hurt, with wrong. Jesus went to the cross. He paid that price for you and for me. And not just for you and I here. And I read this week. Jesus not only came to take away your sin and mine, but Jesus came to take the power that sin has over not only the world that we live in, but the world that was here, the world that is now, and yet what is to come. He destroyed the power of sin, of sickness, of death, and the hell and the grave, and he triumphed over every single one of them. Hallelujah. That's a good time for you to clap. And Romans 5:9 says, since we now have been justified by his blood, by the blood of Jesus that was shed for you and I, you have been justified. You, when he looks at you, he doesn't see your mistakes, he doesn't see your problems, he doesn't see your issues, because you have been justified. You have been wiped clean. Your slate has been made brand new. He looks at you and you are white as the driven snow. He says, you have been justified by his blood. How much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? I just want to tell somebody today that if you're expecting God to drop a hammer on you, or you're even upset at somebody else and you're saying, well, God's going to get them. Can I tell you something? To the person, to the man or to the woman, sinner, I don't care where they've been, what they've done, what they've been up to. When they make Jesus the Lord of their life, they become a partakers of the work at Calvary's cross, When Jesus hung on the cross, he hung for them. He hung for the murderer. He hung for the pervert. He hung for the sex offender. He hung on that cross for the man or the woman that treats their spouse wrong. He hung on that cross for the thief. He hung on that cross for everyone. And the Bible says that when we make him the Lord and the master of our lives, that we have been justified by his blood and saved from the wrath of God that is to come. Do you know if you're born again and you're here today and you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, God has taken that wrath that was appointed to you and I before we made him our Savior, and he has wiped it away, and he has made a clean pathway for you and I to not only live forever here and in eternity free of the clutches of what sin can do in our lives. Oh, the enemy may come against you one time. He may get a right jab to you here and there, slap you up a little bit, but you can get up off the ground. You can shake yourself. You can say, as with the rest of them, if God be for me, who can be against me? You've been justified by the blood. And the Bible says in John chapter 6, Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, listen to this, he who believes in me has everlasting life. We could stop right there and just amen. That would give us enough to shout the rest of the week and the rest of our life. He who believes in me has everlasting life. And then he goes on to say these beautiful words. He says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna or bread in the wilderness and they're dead. This is the bread, speaking of himself, which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. Then he says it again, I am the living bread. Now he says, which came down from heaven. And if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Speaking about his body, speaking about his life that he brings and he gives to you and I. Verse 52 says, the Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give his flesh to eat? And Jesus said to them, most assuredly, because you see, you can't read this, you can't listen to this with just a carnal mind. You have to hear this with the power of God's Holy Spirit working in you. He says, Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. And here he says it again. This is the bread, speaking of his life. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. Isn't that a beautiful, just a powerful verse of Scripture. Jesus says these benefits. He says, when you partake of the flesh and the blood, the cup and the bread today, you live in him and he lives in you. You have eternal life that lives inside of you. You'll be raised on the resurrection morning. You shall live by him. Colossians 1:27 calls it Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now listen today. You can't eat bread and drink juice and not have any spiritual connection with God and think, oh, I drank that and I ate that and now I'm going to heaven. No, that's not what he's referring to. What he is referring to is a spiritual experience that you and I have with the living Savior. God's life comes and lives inside of us, and it brings the joy and the peace of God that no matter what may come to us, it cannot overtake us. And when we partake of the communion today, we are partaking of this body and the blood of Jesus by faith. When Jesus says, listen, this is my body, what he is saying is, this is how I'm going to deliver you. When Jesus says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, he is saying, this is how I'm going to pay for the deliverance that you need. In baptism, we come and we have contact with the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And in communion, we come into contact with the living bread of God who is sacrificed on a cross for your sin and for mine. And communion brings us into the beautiful presence of God today because he is the one who invites us to come to the table. And he is there in person waiting for you and I today. When we get ready to receive today, this is the moment for God's power to come in and over your life. And if I come to him with a half-hearted attitude, like, oh, you know, I can't wait for this to get done, you know. And are the Bills playing today? What time? I didn't tell anybody last week, but last week there was a lot of people here. The Bills won. When you stay home, the Bills lose. It's the fact. And if you come half-hearted, if you come to the table half-hearted, you're missing out in the transformation that God wants you and I to experience. But I'm going to press into him today. I'm going to believe God for the power that I need in my life. I'm going to believe him for the miracle that I need in my life. I'm going to believe him that he will help me overcome the struggles that I have in my life. I'm going to believe him today when I come to him to help me overcome the lack that is represented in my life, or the hindrances that are represented in my life, or the trouble that I'm going through in my life. And sometimes we come to God in such an apathetic way, lukewarm, just enough, unenthusiastic. And we wonder, we want a powerful God to respond to a lukewarm approach. And he never will. And one of my favorite scriptures in the Word of God, and I've got to quote it like I learned it out of the King James Version, Hebrews 11:6, says, but without faith it's impossible to please God. For he who cometh to God, not just tap away and just come, yeah, we can go. No. The Bible says that without faith it's impossible to please him. Without a decision that I'm going to trust him in a whole new manner in my life. Without a decision in my life that I'm going to go and do what I got to do to get what I need from God today. It's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently, come on everybody say that word, diligently seek him. No half-hearted. No lukewarm, no milk toast. We come to him with passion and diligence. And whatever the problem is, we know that he is our answer. And this is the moment that I feel that anointing just coming over this house right now. This is just not some religious exercise that we engage in. But today we are embracing the power of the cross and believing that no matter what has come our way, he's greater. He's more powerful. He is able to lift us up and through whatever it is that we're facing in our lives today. And there's more power. Listen, there's more power in this moment than there's ever been in your past. And there's more power to experience for your future than you've ever experienced in your past. And there must be a decision in our lives to come to God with passion, to go after his plan and his purpose that God has created for us in particular. Titus 2:14 says, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself. Listen, a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. By faith we believe today. We believe in his power. Power for our family. God will show you what to do in the midst of a calamity. I'm going to tell you something. Ryan brought that up today, and the boys were talking about 2 years ago. You want to talk about trouble? You want to talk about needing the power of God's Holy Spirit? My wife and I partook in communion almost every day together, solemnly, quietly together, believing God, coming to the table, asking Him for a miracle. Oh, I thank God for the doctor's hands. But my final hope at the end of the day does not rest in the ability of what a doctor can do, because even they agree that they're only practicing medicine. But I have come to the great healer. I've come to the great physician. I have come to the one who spoke the world into existence, who was and is to come. And He will help me no matter what it is that I'm going through in my life. And I believe with all of my heart today that there is someone here in the house today that will believe God to do exceeding and abundantly in their heart and in their life. And what happens when we invite this bread of life to live inside of us? 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord." What's He do when we partake of the bread of life? He changes us. Not like what we were. He changes us to look more like who He is. John 17:17 says, Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. He cleans you and I up. To sanctify us means He sets us apart. Some of us, we have needed a good washing, haven't we? Come on today. He cleans you. Psalm 119:99 says, "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation." Verse 100, "I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts." When the bread of life comes inside of us, He gives us greater understanding in times of perplexity, when we don't know what to do. And I'm sure no one here has ever been to that place. But when the bread of life lives inside of us, He'll give you and I a greater understanding. Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path." He'll lead you in the right path. Some of you keep on walking down the wrong way. And God says, "I want to have influence in your life. I want to come and live inside of you to keep you from moving in that same direction that only brings pain and hurt and destruction over and over and over again in your life." And when the bread of life lives inside of us and the Word of God becomes a part of us, He will guide us and take us down the right path that we need to be in our life. My goodness, I'm going to get happy up here. One more. Psalm 19:11, moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. God will warn you of trouble and keep you from impending danger. A couple weeks ago, I was coming back. I went for the day my pastor, Pastor Ron, in Newcastle, Pennsylvania, to meet somebody. And as we were coming back on the thruway was backed up. We were coming from Buffalo back here. It was a Thursday night. I had to get back here, and the traffic was backed up. And as we came, we looked over, and that poor accident there where the woman fell off the motorcycle. And when we looked, the traffic was so far. And you know, Pastor Ron, he's a little anxious. I got my last speeding ticket with him in my car. Praise the Lord. He's saying, "Is there another way?" "No, Pastor, we got to go through this." But as we came up there, we looked and we thought, "God, you kept us. I feel so bad here, but Lord, you take care of us." He'll cause you to reroute around something. When you think you're going in the right way and you think it's a detour, that's God saying to you, He's keeping you from an issue. I feel in my spirit right now to say this, that maybe some of you, you've been wondering about signing something this week. And if something gets in the way and stops, that's God saying no. He'll keep you from making the wrong decision and keep you from impending danger. I'd like those who are going to help with communion, I'd like you to come right now. As you receive the cup and the bread today, I want you to hold it until we're all served. Together today, if you're here today and you have not made Jesus the Lord and the Master of your life, you need to do that right now. So I don't want you to disengage. The only people that should be up walking right now is those who are going to serve communion. This is a moment for you and I to come. He who cometh to God must believe that he is. There is a power, if you will allow it, to be released in and over your life today to help you through everything that you're challenged and struggling with today. What is it that you're facing? He's more than enough. What is it that, what's the dilemma that you're dealing with? He's more than enough today. There's power in this moment today. When you receive the cup and the bread, I want you to hold it. If your life with Christ is not where it should be, just say, God, I need you. Make it right now. We don't have to go through a lot of liturgical practices. Just make it right with him right now. Make it right. Ask him, God, save me, forgive me, set me free. And then whatever it is that you're in need of today, whatever miracle that you're in need of today. God, we love you. Lord, we love you. As a husband and a wife today, this is your moment today. If you'll trust God, not with their attitude, with yours. As we partake of this today, we think of what Christ has done as he hung on the cross. Different cultures, different ages, different color, different backgrounds. This blood that was shed at Calvary was shed for each one of us. I was disowned by the world, but redeemed by the creator of this world. That's this moment that you're in right now. He did not redeem you with silver or gold, but with his precious blood. On that day, the sun refused to shine. The earth went dark. The ground began to shake. Mercy and truth kissed one another that day. And he provided everything that we are in need of today. What is it in your life? What are you bringing to him right now? Are you coming to him in a half-hearted way? Are you coming to him? He who cometh to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We bless your name, Lord. We bless your name, Lord. Some young people, maybe you just need some help. Maybe it's in school. Maybe it's with a job. Maybe it's in a relationship. He'll help you in that. Learn to trust him at a young age. Learn to lean upon him at a young age. Praise your holy name, Lord. Take this moment. Come to him. Come to him. We honor you, Lord. Nothing is more important than this moment right now in your life. For some of you, you're going to leave here today. If you ask him to heal your body, heal the body of a loved one, you're going to receive a good report. For some of you today, there's problems in your home. You don't know how you'll deal with it. Let God deal with it. He's able. He's able. If anyone was not served yet, would you raise your hand real high if you desire to be served and you were not? Raise your hand real high. I don't want to miss anyone here today. Jesus, the Bible says, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. Thank you, God. He gave thanks. He broke it. He said, this is my body. This is for you. Remember me. This is the bread of life. This is the bread that came down from heaven for you and I today. Father, we thank you for the power that has been demonstrated in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's partake of the bread, the body of the Lord, together. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. The blood that paid for your deliverance, your salvation. Thank you, God. The blood has never lost its power. In the same way he took the cup. This is my blood, the new covenant. I read a story this week that I'd never heard before about a pastor that was serving communion. And he used the Old Testament scripture that God told the Israelites that if you'll apply the blood to the lintel and to the doorpost of your home, the death angel will pass by. He said, if you're able, before we partake of this cup, hold the cup over your head and declare, I am under the blood. There's no trouble. There's no sickness that shall come near my dwelling. I'm under the blood. Evil, death, hardship, heartache, trouble, issues. I'm under the blood. Failure, pain, divorce. I'm under the blood. I'm under the blood. He said, drink this and remember me. Let's partake of the cup together. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Some of the prayer people, if you would come, stand in the front here. We honor you, Lord. We praise your holy name. We praise your holy name.